Hi everybody, my name is Alicia Perez, and today I'm going to be talking about how the economy during the Old Kingdom influenced ancient Egypt. So, as we all know, ancient Egypt has long been considered one of the greatest historical civilizations that this world has ever seen due to their advances in agriculture, social justice, and economy. Although this is very true, most of these advances may have not been possible without an established economy. During the Old Kingdom, ancient Egypt sustained a long and uninterrupted period of economic prosperity and political stability. As we begin to see the construction of great monuments such as King Djoser's Step Pyramid, we should start to recognize that the creation of large monuments like this would have never been possible without an established government. Without the power of an established central government, Egypt may have never become one of the most powerful civilizations of its time, but thanks to the establishment of pharaohs and administrators, we now have an idea of how this ancient society came to be. Now, let's get into a little more detail about the first pyramid of ancient Egypt. So, as we begin to see the first pharaohs and administrators rising up to take power, we also start to see the construction of massive monuments, such as King Djoser's Step Pyramid. King Djoser was a pharaoh of the 3rd dynasty of Egypt and is best known for the creation of the Step Pyramid. The Step Pyramid was the first time the tomb was built entirely of stone, with a gleaming white limestone casing and a granite-lined burial chamber. Before this, no pharaoh had ever attempted to build such a large monument, but because the pharaoh had finally gained enough power over his people, he was able to instruct his people to build this for him without the fear of a rebellion. If a pharaoh had no control over his people, then the creation of such beautiful monuments and temples wouldn't have been possible. This also meant that the ancient Egyptians saw their pharaoh in the way that he wanted to be portrayed, a powerful God in human form who is here to rule. As a result of Pharaoh Djoser's reign, other pharaohs that succeeded him followed his example and tried to build pyramids of their own, but to no avail. It wasn't until the Pyramid of Giza's construction around 2560 BC that another structure would overshadow the first true pyramid of Egypt. So now let's get into the popular belief of slaves in ancient Egypt. So I'm sure if any of you have ever heard of the Bible, you've heard of the story of Moses and the slaves building the pyramids and the monuments in Egypt. So contrary to popular belief, this is not true. The economy was not slave-based. And even if the ancient Egyptians used slaves to build the pyramids, this would not take the place of agricultural responsibilities and food manufacturing. Since slaves were not used, this meant that the people that were building the pyramids were being taken away from other jobs, such as crop production. So to ensure that the people of Egypt did not have to endure a self-induced famine, the ancient Egyptians began to trade much more consistently with surrounding societies. This would not only help advance Egypt's powerful influence, but would also help the Egyptians' population grow if there was an abundance of food and other goods. So during the Old Kingdom, Egypt's government was very centralized, meaning that the pharaoh had power over everything. It was only when the pharaohs began to put administrators in charge of certain areas of Egypt that we can start to see power being spread out. Administrators were people that were put in charge of certain areas of work by the pharaoh. For example, one person could be placed in charge of farming, while another person could be overseeing taxes. Around the 3rd and 4th dynasties, many of the top officials of state were members of the royal family. This meant that almost everyone that had some level of power in Egypt's government and economy were in line to possibly become the next pharaoh. This was not necessarily a bad thing, because if all of the people in positions of power had a close relationship with the pharaoh, then it may have been very hard for any durable feudal power capable of contesting and replacing the authority of the state, because their allegiance would have been to the current pharaoh. So now let's get into everybody's favorite topic about ancient Egypt, which is funerary practices, but not in the way that you think. I'm going to be discussing how funerary practices are linked to the economic status of ancient Egypt. So, funerary ceremonies were not very common before the Old Kingdom, but once they began, they became a normal religious act from the Old Kingdom all the way until Egypt's downfall around the time of Cleopatra. The most famous funerary monuments are the pyramids, whose primary benefactor was the king himself, who in his lifetime endowed his pyramid establishment with land or made arrangements. Although this is a beautiful funerary tradition, this can also be seen from an economic standpoint. Since most pharaohs were buried with beautiful artifacts such as gold-plated beds, chariots, and many other goods, this could not have been done without a stable government and economy. If the economy at the time was not doing well, the people most likely would not have given up such valuable resources. We can see a depiction of this in the tomb of Per-Neb at Saqqara, where there is a banquet scene being played out on the walls of the tomb. According to William Hayes, the author of Egyptian Tomb Reliefs of the Old Kingdom, the purpose of the decoration was to assure perpetually to the dead the goods of this life. Even though this could have been a way to remind the dead of what they had in their first life, this could have also meant that the people were trying to conserve goods at the time of this person's death, and instead of giving the dead perishable goods, they would supply them with drawings of what they would need in the afterlife. Think of this as a loophole that the ancient Egyptians found in their own customs. So now, as I begin to end this podcast, let's just reflect on what ancient Egypt might mean to some people. So, ancient Egypt, I'm sure, has fascinated people from around the world since archaeologists began to uncover artifacts from this lost civilization. Thanks to the preservation of ancient writings and drawings, we are able to get a small glimpse into how the ancient Egyptians were able to run such a well-organized society for thousands of years. Even though we may marvel at the pyramids or the large tombs that the pharaohs were laid to rest in, we should remember that this may have not been possible without the strong economy that held Egypt up from its beginning to its demise.